I'm Heather McLean, in this week for Jennifer Shveta Jordan. Jennifer is at the Society for Environmental Journalists Conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee this week. But, always hard at work and on top of a story, she couldn't resist sending us this interview with Sam Eaton, one of the award-winning journalists she met at the conference.
I'm speaking with one of the Journalism Award winners here, Sam Eaton. He was honored for his stories about the fallout from Fukushima's nuclear reactor meltdown, as well as about climate change reporting. Those stories have appeared on Public Radio International's The World. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Sam, in your report about Fukushima, you painted a really detailed visual image of what Fukushima is like, and I'm embarrassed to say I really just thought of Japan as those, you know, bright lights in the Times Square type space. So I was struck when I heard you describe the site of the reactors, and it could be a landscape here where we are now in Chattanooga or Pennsylvania. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of the most striking things about this story is not only was it this beautiful kind of forested coastal landscape, it's also, there was something about the weather there as well. It was somewhat milder and sunny, and the people who lived there had this incredible attachment to the landscape itself. As people were, you know, forced out of that landscape, that cultural tie to the land, they really didn't want to give that up. There was always this idea of like, we will go back. But the big, you know, question we were trying to answer in that story is at what cost, and what, you know, would the landscape even be recognizable to the people that occupied it in order to make it safe for them to live there again? And it really, they have not answered that question as to whether they will be able to make it a safe place for people to return to. Part of, you know, the Japanese culture as well is not to just put that land aside as a contaminated area.
Which was done in Chernobyl.
In Chernobyl, yeah. But land is of such a value, you know, in Japan, and is such a scarce commodity that I think it takes a huge kind of shift in the mindset in order to even conceptualize leaving that land.
And yet you point out the complexities of, you know, in forests, on agricultural land, the water, like how do you clean that up?
It's a question that they're, you know, I mean, I was reading just this week some articles about it that, you know, they scraped the topsoil off of this area, and then the radiation washes back down from the mountains. One of the most haunting moments for me in that experience was sitting in this forest where they were trying to reduce the radiation, and this was like less than a mile from the actual reactor, so it was really high levels of radiation, but it's penetrated, you know, every part of these trees and the landscape, and you realize just how, you know, messy a nuclear accident is.
Despite the anti-nuclear sentiment, the, I guess, motion behind employing renewables still is not what one might think.
As far as the shift into renewable energy, I mean, and this is all tied in because the government, you know, has shut down the last of the nuclear reactors. I think there's a lot of hope that they'll be able to start those back up again. And there's a lot of thinking that they're trying to kind of keep the people that had occupied the Fukushima evacuation zone in a holding pattern so as not to kind of bring more bad press to the nuclear energy option. Which is enlightening in the sense of how, you know, how realistic this push towards renewable energy is going. My feeling is that the government is hoping that nuclear energy will still be a part of that mix as a solution, rather than a full-scale scale-up of renewables.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
We'll post links to your work on AlleghenyFront.org. I'm Jennifer Shveta Jordan reporting from Chattanooga at the Society of Environmental Journalists Conference. You're listening to the Allegheny Front.